Okay, here we are. Hour number two. Welcome back. It is Monday. It's time for Jeff and Erica for another hour of fun and frivolity with the most important question of our time, maybe of all time. And basically that question is, how many are going to be left when this horror is over? It's not just a psyop. It's a genocidal psyop, and it worked. They used fear, perhaps the most primal of all emotions, to drive people to roll up their sleeves and be injected with what appears to be almost certain death in many, if not most, cases. It's bad. Did they use placebos in the middle? The beginning, at the end of the rollout? I don't know. We don't know. It may well be they used no placebos. They just had defective batches here and there, and that might have allowed some people who got one or two shots, if they got really lucky, to escape. But when the boosters started to be rolled out, nobody escaped. And now, no more shot number one, no more shot number two. It's all bivalent booster, and they are extremely dangerous, to put it politely. Welcome back, partner. How you doing?
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be back.
What did you do over the weekend? Did you have fun?
No, yeah, well, whatever constitutes fun these days, it was okay. We had, real cold snap for about 36 hours, and then it was gone.
Yeah.
That Lots was of broken
very
pipes.
Strange thing. I'll bet. Plumbers are having a field day this week.
Yeah,
no
it was
doubt.
Nonstop,
no
the calls.
Doubt. All right. For those of you who were with us last week, we played a portion of an interview with Regis Tremblay and poor Mina Waugh. I know it's poor Nima, but I like poor Mina better. So poor Mina was on, and it was reposted. This is an interview that was done 3-4 months ago. I think it was last September almost. So figure 4 or 5 months ago. It's been relaunched. All right, it's being recirculated. Why? Because it keeps the noise level up. It keeps the confusion machine cranking out chaos. And that's what they're all about. So we played a little clip of her, and we promised you more really appalling video tonight. So we're going to do that in just a minute or two. Poor Mina is a very strange character, to put it mildly. She is rolling in utter disinformation, if not outright intentional lying. I don't know if she's lying. Maybe she believes this crap, but it's 100% garbage. You'll hear it in just a minute. What are your thoughts on poor Mina?
Well, it's to me, it's another psyop. It's to convince people, persuade people, that there's no shedding. When clearly, we have a group of 18,000 plus who beg to differ.
And maybe millions more who have been directly impacted by shedding, who have never been the same, or who
yes.
took months to get back to normal, whatever normal is anymore, who can tell you firsthand, and we've heard them on this program, just hugging someone who's been vaxxed is enough to make you sick for weeks and weeks in some cases. And if you're around them enough, we believe the very real possibility of passive vaccination, if vaccination is the word, passive exposure to this bioweapon is very much on the table. So you've got to think about these things. We don't have the ultimate definitive answers, but we have a pretty good grip on it. Poor Mina just came out of nowhere, sort of. Kind of like Sasha Latipova, who came out of nowhere about no more than 6 months ago. I don't think. 6 months ago, we started to see her, and she was rolling out some pretty heavy pieces of reality. But that's how you establish street credentials for anybody. You have to give them some valid, solid information to roll with. And then they can start to divert, digress, twist, and sidestep. Sasha has been at some pretty big conferences. The one in Stockholm with the chairs in the front that we saw, she was sitting right at the right hand of God. Dr. Robert Malone, sitting right next to Bobby Malone at the dais on a chair. There were four or five of them. And how did Sasha Latipova go from nowhere to sitting at the right hand of Bob Malone at the Stockholm International COVID Conference? That ought to tell you all you need to know. And that woman sat there with the poise of an actress, a real good one. She knew what she was doing. She was no amateur. And here she is all of a sudden at the top. Her story has changed a little bit, too, by the way. It's not 100%, in our opinion. Doesn't have the gravity that some of the earlier things she was putting out there did.
No, and she's now pushing. Well, I don't know if pushing is the right word, but she's on the graphene.
Anybody jumps on that train is a bum.
You know, in the beginning, she had very credible information with the labs and the scientists that she had worked with, that they looked at these many vials exhaustively and looked specifically for graphene, and none of them determined that it was there.
No.
And now suddenly she's entertaining, you know, micro circuits and nanobots and AI parasites and all the other nonsense that these, you know, big platforms are pushing.
That's not what she was doing in the beginning. So
here's
in all likelihood, this is another chess piece that has been created and put on the big board by them.
Mm-hmm.
So we might be wrong, but I don't think so. And anyhow, when you watch Malone, there's a clip of Malone. It's interesting. He's a very interesting guy. There's a 6-minute video of him talking. And I watched it for about 3 minutes, 30 seconds, and I couldn't take any more. He was just talking and talking about himself and how horrible it is when people demean and defame you and call your CV into question, and how he had been damaged and victimhood. This is not what we need from these alleged leaders, but that's what they're about. They're all about themselves. Not all of them.
Well, he's building rapport. He wants to make it seem like he's just like, all these other people.
He's just one of us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, here's, for those of you listening out there who are poor Mina fans, you'll have to make of this what you will, because it's her voice, no AI, no tricks. Now, this is poor Mina on shedding. Shedding is as real as the sun is. And even the flat earthers believe there's a sun, I think. Here we go.
So I would keep away from any of this stuff, you know? And then finally, I'm going to talk about, this is a big problem with a lot of people. I know a lot of people have issues and they have concerns about vaccine shedding. You know, people talk about vaccine shedding. So I'm going to address this. Is this a myth or reality? So now that we know what the COVID-19 jabs are all over the planet, so we know it's a chemical cocktail and not a biological weapon. So we...
Excuse me, poor Mina?
Do we?
Do we? Exactly. A chemical cocktail and not a biological weapon. Well, is not a synonym of biological weapon a chemical cocktail? I think so. All right, here we go.
Must understand how the body deals with these toxins once these toxins are injected into your system, okay? So all biological matter, be it amino acids, proteins, or organic matter that is foreign to the body, it will be excreted out and flushed out. So the body will always try to flush it out. Now, this is a detoxification mechanism that the body has, whether it's from the skin or nose or any other part of the body. For example, monkeypox, it's coming out of the skin. It's a detoxification from the jab. the skin is trying to flush the toxins out, you know, from the skin. So
monkeypox is from the jab. That's where it came from. Never mind, it's been around in Africa for God knows how many centuries, maybe longer. But it came from the jab. All right. Okay.
That's why you're seeing these little pustules. It's a detoxification mechanism. However, the body processes everything when it's before it's excreted out. So before it's excreting all these toxins, the toxins are getting processed inside the body.
So, okay, chicken pox, monkey pox, the body has screened out all the terrible parts of the toxic material, and it's just being excreted, and it shows up as pustules, right? That's what she's saying. It's harmless, basically.
Right.
Okay.
So whether, you know, when it processes these toxins, when the toxins are flushed out, they become inert and inactive. That means they can't harm anybody else. So one cannot shed proteins like the spike protein because, A, spike protein doesn't exist. It's fake.
One cannot shed proteins like the spike protein because, A, spike proteins don't exist.
Even though we could order them from any number of biotech companies, you can actually order spike protein your experiments.
Professor Arnie Burkhardt in Germany and his autopsy work with over, I don't know how many people he's autopsied now, literally spike found in all organs, everywhere in the body, crawling all over the body, basically. But I got to go back on this just a little bit. This is too rich. Hold on. All right.
And inactive. That means they can't harm anybody else. So one cannot shed proteins like the spike protein because, A, spike protein doesn't exist. It's fiction. But even if it did exist, once it came out of the body, it would be completely inactive. It would just be dead. So you're not shedding anything. Same thing with the mRNA or the graphene oxide. Even if it comes out of the skin, by the time it comes out of the skin, it hits the air and the oxygen and it dies right away. So you're not shedding anything.
You want an hour to take that one apart? This is getting just so crazy. Where do you
start?
Well,
you know, a protein, I mean, it's a fallacy. Proteins all by themselves, it's not alive. But it can be biologically active and it can be toxic. Let's just take the poison dart frog as an example. The poison is released through its skin and it's collected and put on the end of a dart, and whatever prey is speared with that dart will die instantly. That's protein. That is a protein. That's a toxic protein. How about ricin? That's a protein.
Well, by her logic, tuberculosis bacilli that are being excreted with every cough and sneeze of a tuberculosis victim, those TB bacteria are completely harmless. They're inactive. They're dead. There's nothing there. You can go on from there. It's just, it's nuts. All right, this is really some of the craziest stuff I've heard. Let me go back just a little bit and re-listen to that.
And inactive, that means it can't harm anybody else. So one cannot shed proteins like the spike protein because, A, spike protein doesn't exist. It's fiction.
You can't shed proteins, Erica. You cannot shed proteins. Write that down, will you?
Right.
This is astounding.
Even if it did exist, once it came out of the body, it would be completely inactive. It would just be dead. So you.
And your proof, poor Mina, is what? Where's your proof? What proof?
This is absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Not shedding anything. Same thing with the mRNA or the graphene oxide. Even if it comes out of the skin, by the time it comes out of the skin, it hits the air and the oxygen and it dies right away. So you're not shedding anything, okay?
There's nothing.
So you cannot
there's nothing
infect
to die.
Anyone else by shedding. There's nothing.
No, correct. Go ahead. Say that.
Well, the mRNA would be released in exosomes, so it's partially protected. You know, if it's inhaled directly, we don't know really, but we do have some, at least a couple published studies that say this URA3665 hidden in the vaccines is accumulating to toxic levels in the unvaxxed. How's that happening?
Okay, I'm going to go back and listen to that again. It's just too good.
The body. So whether, you know, when it processes these toxins, when the toxins are flushed out, they become inert and inactive. That means they can't harm anybody else. So one cannot shed proteins like the spike protein because, A, spike protein doesn't exist. It's fiction. But even if it did exist, once it came out of the body, it would be completely inactive. It would just be dead. So you're not shedding anything. Same thing with the mRNA or the graphene oxide. Even if it comes out of the skin, by the time it comes out of the skin, it hits the air and the oxygen and it dies right away. So you're not shedding anything, okay? So you cannot infect anyone else by shedding. There's nothing called shedding. People need to understand these are biological concepts. You don't shed and you don't contaminate anybody else. Now, the body cannot shed or contaminate someone else. Proteins get destroyed the moment they come in contact with the air and oxygen. It's called denaturing or falling apart of biological matter. The word is denaturing, so the protein just falls apart.
Okay. Do you want to tell that to somebody that has a peanut allergy?
Oh, it's...
How about an egg allergy?
This is right? One of the most blatant examples of complete scientific absurdity that I've ever heard. Ever. With no proof to back it, nothing. Not even an alleged patent or a paper, nothing. This is really fun.
Unfortunately, people have embraced it.
Yeah. Here we go.
That's that. So I wanted to go into this further. So the only way to kill or maim someone is to inject them directly into the bloodstream with a toxin. This is why in nature, every animal injects their toxin into us in order to harm us, whether it's a snake through its fangs, a wasp or bee through its stinger, or a mosquito who injects an itchy toxin into our bloodstream. We cannot die from inhaling, shedding, or being sprayed on unless it is massive amounts of literally burying you in the toxin. The only surefire way to maim and kill you is to inject you. The parasites know this, and this is why they want every human being injected with the COVID-19 jab. So the only way to reliably kill you is to inject you. That's the only way.
So to be clear, the parasites that you're referring to are these globalists.
Correct. I call them parasites, yes.
Yeah, who have
not
this,
the parasites in the vaccines.
Who have this agenda to depopulate.
There are parasites in the vaccine now? I forgot. Biological AI parasites, that's right. That was another canard they threw at us some time ago.
Yep.
Planet.
Correct. I refer to them not as globalists, but as parasites because, I think that's what they are. So when the unvaccinated, I have a lot of people telling me, somebody shed on me. I feel nauseous. I get a headache. I get nosebleeds. I had somebody tell me the other day, oh, my God, I have a horrible nosebleed and it wouldn't stop bleeding. I couldn't stop it. And they're saying, oh, I was around this vaccinated person. This is why I put this in here. So when the unvaccinated feel nauseous or get a headache or nosebleeds around the vaccinated, it is through a process called bioresonance. So what is bioresonance? Bioresonance is where our bodies communicate with each other through other forms of communication not yet understood besides actual verbal communication.
Okay. Bioresonance. I wonder who.
Could you demonstrate that, please?
Yeah. Just show us. This is all preposterous.
Well, you can see the effort to get people to let their guard down with this.
Oh, they want them to take their masks off and to hug each other and kiss each other and share body fluids with each other, regardless of their vaccine status. or the injection status, or the bioweapons status. They want them just to spread it. That's what this is all about.
Well, in biology,
yes.
New thing, and it's been there for quite a while. Nobody paid any attention to it. Our DNA are like antenna. So our DNA can talk to other people's bodies. I mean, we have this form of communication that exists.
That's how I talk to Erica when I can't get her on the phone. I just use my DNA antennas. No problem.
Nice. Smoke signals, right.
And it's called bioresonance. It has been proven in science, but you never see it in textbooks. So the more intimate the human relationship, the higher the level of bioresonance among the people. So if your husband, wife, daughter, mother, brother, that kind of stuff, there's the more the intimate the emotional relationship, the higher the bioresonance frequency among those people. So if you're unvaccinated and the other person is vaccinated, you might feel sick, you know, around that person if you're sensitive to them. So all this stuff we will ultimately discover as we move forward into a more enlightened age of reasoning from the present dark age of big pharma and phony baloney science. So we'll go there at some point.
I actually...
Okay. I think we've heard enough. There are no spike proteins. There is no shedding. All of these toxins are somehow processed by the body before they're excreted through whatever channel they may have to come through, and they're harmless. Don't worry. Be happy. The only way you're in danger is if you get that needle in your arm. No, that's just one way you're in danger, the primary way. But your body, once you're injected, becomes a spike protein factory, and you do not stop producing it for a long time. We don't know how long. But you get the bivalent booster, and apparently that accelerates the manufacture. I don't know the rate, but people seem to be really toxic after they get these booster shots to others who are not shot up.
Well, and to themselves as well.
I would think.
Whatever is in it's potent.
She just, that was kind of like a perfect dissertation on disinformation. A denial of virtually everything we know that has been established by science in the 2+ years that we as a species have been studying this bioweapon. And she just denied it all, or most all
of
it.
Right.
It's how they do it. And people they're so overwhelmed now with information, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. They don't know what to do. And I don't blame them. It's not their fault. But you hear stuff like this, you say, geez, I don't have to worry about shedding. I'm fine. No problem.
It's incredible, the number of explanations they've come up with to explain what's happening, and none of them are accurate. It's all to keep you off balance.
Okay, we're going to shift gears here. Now, we've all seen died suddenly, right? We've all seen people just fall over. Sometimes they can be revived, sometimes they can't. Quite obviously, their hearts have suddenly ceased pumping. That is most likely what we're seeing. That's what most of the medical experts say. That's what the autopsies say. The heart stopped. Well, we've got a pretty good explanation here from a Dr. Daniel Nagase about how that can happen. And we've talked about this before, but I like the way he states it. Basically, if the spike protein decides to swarm the heart, and we know it swarms every major organ in the body, it can cause the heart bioelectrically to stop functioning. On the spot, the heart will just sit there and flutter. It no longer beats in rhythm. Now, is the spike interrupting the autonomic nervous signal from the brainstem? Don't know. But somehow, the spike can cause the heart to simply stop. Remember Tiffany Dover injected. What was in the injection? mRNA and lots of spike. And the spike may have gone directly to her heart. It did go directly to her heart in a matter of minutes through the body's blood circulation, and it shut her heart down, in all likelihood. And the same for the others we've seen so often on video and film. All right, anything you want to add about Dr. Nagase? He's soft-spoken. He's a Canadian doctor. He's very accomplished. Anything you want to add?
No, I think most people are familiar with him by now. He was a practicing physician in Canada, and he did lose his license because he refused to comply with a mandate. And, you know, he's been advocating for human rights ever since.
Right. Okay. Here he is on the Dr. Jane Ruby show. Dr. Daniel Nagase.
Well, the unjabbed are getting exposed to spike protein.
Okay, that's fair.
And so then the question is, well, what do we know about the spike protein from the cell biology research? And that's where there was one study out of England, I think it came out in 2021, where they took spike proteins and put it onto a bunch of cardiac cells that they harvested from people undergoing heart surgery. So this is actually it was a good study. I actually like the way they did it. They went to people who are going through heart valve surgery or whatever. And you know, when surgeons do heart surgery, sometimes there's little bits of heart muscle or heart tissue that they cut and they toss in the garbage bin because they don't need it. They're putting in artificial.
Right.
Or something.
Right.
So what these researchers did was collected a bunch of discarded heart tissue, right? But they didn't just, you know, it wasn't from the garbage bin. They had it refrigerated. And they collected it from a number of different patients. And then they used that, and then they tested two things. One was just spike protein onto the cardiac cells. So these are both cardiac muscle cells and the cardiac support cells that they called pericytes, not parasites, it's P-E-R-I, because they're surrounding the heart muscle cells. They provide the immune system for the heart cells and the energy and support. So when they put spike proteins on this heart tissue, everything went to chaos. Everything went to hell.
What do you mean? What did they see?
So the pericytes stopped working properly.
Wow.
They stopped sending the correct signals to the heart muscle cells. The heart muscle cells, they weren't contracting and organized well. They were, you know, unhealthy or they were dying. It was just chaos. Cellular chaos.
I see.
Now, if it was a whole coronavirus with the spike protein attached, there didn't seem to be much problem. Right?
Ah,
so that's
a
normal situation is you have a coronavirus, and no matter what the coronavirus has on its surface, whether it's spike protein or no spike protein, cardiac immune cells and cardiac parasites know what to do with the coronavirus because most of the time they've seen it before.
Ah.
It's kind of like a coronavirus. It just has a different spike protein on top. We know how to neutralize it. We know how to handle that situation. But cardiac cells have never, ever had to deal with lone spike proteins floating around causing chaos.
Wow.
They don't know what to do with it. And what's worse, there was another study that looked at the same situation where they put whole coronaviruses, COVID-19 viruses, with the spike protein, and they showed that it did not affect the DNA repair enzymes. But when they took those same cells and they put just pure spike protein on it, then all of a sudden the activity, the fidelity with which the DNA repair enzymes do their job, repairing errors in DNA, all of a sudden that plummeted. So spike proteins inhibit DNA repair.
Okay. Several things here. One, if you all remember back to our playing of the Dr. Chetty from South Africa video, where he said, in no uncertain terms, the spike protein is the deadliest thing that mankind has ever created. If mankind actually created the whole thing, which I have my doubts, I think there was some other assistance, but that's just me, not speaking for anybody else. That's one. You know now, you understand now, how somebody who could take a shot, which has trillions of spike proteins and mRNA, how those individual spike proteins will circulate through the entire body, all major organs, and how when they get to the heart, they can literally cause the heart pericytes to stop doing what they do, and the heart will stop beating. Just stop. That's how people fall over dead. It's one of the ways. We think there are others, but that's certainly one of them. And very clear, I think, and hopefully you all can understand what he's saying, because it's not ambiguous in the least. It is what it is. This is the most deadly thing ever. And when your body...
Yeah, even...
Go ahead.
People that are not vaxxed and having to spend time in the company of vaxxed often get...
Same possibility through shedding.
Yeah, I just read another post. These are common. People having tachycardia, a rapid heart rate, being around the vaxxed, they're getting those same symptoms.
That's a hand in a glove with what he said. Perfect.
Yeah.
Of course, poor Mina told us that shedding doesn't exist and spike proteins don't exist. So a little bit of a problem, you see? You see the information game? You've got the truth in one hand and you've got bullshit in the other hand, and it's being spewed equally or even inadvertently or intentionally in the majority of the false information. That's what the alt news has been drowned in now, fakery. Graphene oxide is the big killer. That's what they're trying to get people to bite onto now. No, it's the spike. Simple.
And I would add to that, as additional proof, these people that have taken to wearing, I am one, Jeff is one, of wearing the ionizer, the air ionizer. Those ionizers were initially intended for people who had allergies. And what are people allergic to? They're proteins. The body's, overreacting to certain proteins. And there are people that are very sensitive to shedding that have taken to wearing these things now, and they do experience significant relief from symptoms of shedding. So that is an indication that there is a protein that is airborne that this ionizer is able to neutralize, get it out of their airspace, and so they're not reacting to it as much, if at all. It wouldn't be doing that if it was just, vapor.
Right. Well, the people who are having issues of tachycardia and other heart rate irregularities after being around the vaxxed, that's very interesting because they are picking up spike. There's no question about that. And we know the spike can go anywhere at once in the body. That is suggestive of possibly a very low dose, a low exposure rate of spike proteins. Doesn't have to be. You don't have to be around somebody for 10 hours. You can be around somebody for 20 minutes and pick up enough spike to cause your heart to skip a beat or more. It's possible. So the more we learn, the more the issue of shedding becomes an incredibly important aspect to this entire nightmare. And we go out, we wear masks, and there's a new effort out to say masks don't work. Well, masks do work. It's just that they're not going to be worth 100%. They're going to be worth maybe 10 to 20%. I'll take that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Same with gloves.
I mean, you're either breathing their vapors, exhalations, or you're breathing your own. Take your pick.
Right. And the idea of putting on a mask for a 20-minute shopping trip in a store, grocery store, whatever, big deal. You go outside, you take it off. You will exhale and inhale and flush your system in a matter of a minute or two. It's no problem. Get rid of that extra CO2 you might have. All right. I hope this is all helpful again. We've covered this. We're in our third year now of trying to bring you the best information that we think is worth your time and consideration. And that's the nature of what we do. And I think that a lot of people have been made hopefully safer by common sense with some of this information. Because ultimately, if you don't take care of yourself, you know damn well the government is not going to. They're going to kill you.
Yeah.
This injectable weapon is not some kind of an experimental vaccine. I'm going to repeat what I've been saying. This is a planned, created, constructed, conceived biological weapon of a magnitude and a viciousness that has never been seen before. I will say that. I don't know, but I can't imagine anything worse than this. Every week it seems that Erica comes up with another way where this thing can kill. Another pathway that must be considered. It is so diabolical and so damn dangerous and sophisticated in the number of ways it is anti-life.
I mean, you don't want to be exposed to it, and certainly you don't want to be producing it.
No.
There's nothing beneficial about having this protein in you or near you, and, you know, to engage or have your immune system engage with it just brings trouble.
It's entirely synthetic. It's not natural. It's part of a bioweapon. And when you get that jab, God help you. Your body will be turned into a spike factory, and it will kill you over time. Everyone's got a different time, a different fuse. We don't know what the reference is, but we're seeing a lot more people die now. It's beginning to show up. They've been injecting people now for 2 years, and the big roll on the injection was about a year and a half ago. That's when it really started to take off. And now we're looking at people who are just dropping dead or developing
any number of problems. I think there's a general, just a rapid aging. I mean, you can see it.
Well, we got that paper today. What was that? Did I send it to you? Oh, no, it was Walter Chestnut.
Okay, right. All right, that was circulated, I think, about a week or so ago, where the spike protein goes everywhere. You know, every capillary in the body, it just is pervasive. And I forget what the crux of it was.
Well, I've got it up in news. It's up there right now. Look,
I mean, it's causing a form of endotheliitis, you know, an inflammation of the blood vessels. Just decimates the blood vessel. The inflammation just destroys these capillaries. And that sets the stage for, well, cancer at the very least.
Yeah. Here's what Chestnut says. The spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 is delivered to all organs via the endothelium. That's the blood circulatory
of your blood vessels.
It's the inside of your, whether it's an artery, a capillary, doesn't matter. It's got endothelial cells inside of it. And induces systemic nonsense mRNA translations resulting in hyper-accelerated aging. This is an interesting paper. It's up there. You'll see it. The spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 is delivered. Just look for that. And look for hyper-accelerated aging. Read that, and you'll understand why there's so many reports of people who have gotten the injection who, within a matter of weeks, look older, and months look much older. No joke. No joke.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the inflammation from this protein is unsurpassed. And the oxidative stress that comes as a result, it's on a level with radiation poisoning. That's how bad it is.
That's no exaggeration. Okay, we've got a little clip with, there was this big conference called the Pandemic Strategies Conference in Stockholm. And there were kind of a who's who group there, and I mentioned the chairs at the front. We had Dr. Bobby Malone, and the fresh out of nowhere, Sasha Latipova, I don't know how she did it, except it was done for her. You don't just come out of nowhere and get invited to a conference like this to sit at the front of the stage. Boom. She's right there. Boom. What a placement. They didn't even take their time anymore. With beef stew, they took a little while. But this Sasha Latipova got fast-tracked big time.
Yep.
All right. Now, Ryan Cole made a statement right after walking out of this conference at the end of it. And it's about 4 minutes. So let's listen to what Dr. Ryan Cole has to say. He's being attacked, by the way, clearly by design, I would think. It's not just happenstance.
Right.
General impression, highlights from the conference.
Highlights from the conference here in Stockholm is the amazing amount of experience, scientific brain power that's come together in one place from around the world, from so many nations, to continue to try to change what's happening around the world, to continue to counter these false narratives and counter the science, because we're true scientists. We do real research. We do data analysis. We have people to save. We have lives to save. We have an experimental injection that absolutely must be stopped around the world. And we have a state of emergency that's not a state of emergency anymore.
Okay, with all respect for Dr. Ryan Cole, let me back up. I know a lot of you might have missed that, but this is it's an important statement because it's he can do better. That's my sense.
That absolutely must be stopped around the world. And we have a state of emergency that's...
Oops, let me back it up a little more. Sorry. Here we go.
Search. We do data analysis. We have people to save. We have lives to save. We have an experimental injection that absolutely must be stopped around...
Okay. We have an experimental injection. Again, forgive the repetition. There's nothing experimental about this injection. This is a deployed bioweapon. It is doing precisely what it was supposed to do, and it is doing it extremely well. That's my sense of it. And I wish that people wouldn't keep giving it a ride by calling it an experimental vaccine. It's not. There's nothing experimental about this thing. It's doing what it was designed to do. And boy, is it ever.
Yep.
Okay, back to Ryan.
And we have a state of emergency that's not a state of emergency anymore. The hospitals aren't full. People aren't dying left and right. We need to change international policy towards...
Excuse me, Ryan, but I really think you might want to do a little bit more research about your statement that hospitals aren't full anymore. They sure as hell are. Even the one in this town, the major regional hospital, is crammed with people. On gurneys and hallways, they can't get seen in ER. You heard Nurse Ann last Friday, hospitals in New York. And I've had other people tell me about hospitals around the country. They're all full of sick people. Most of them are shot up. They're not dying or they're not sick from the whatever version of the virus is running loose now. They're usually people who have been shot up and they're dying because of this deployed bioweapon. Doing what it was designed to do. And it does it so many ways. All right.
WHO's corruption, towards pharmaceutical company corruption, towards governmental corruption and private public partnerships taking advantage of humanity and using experimental injections that are harming people. We need to recognize...
Not experimental. Not in the least.
People that have been harmed and work on ways to reverse their harms and heal them and help them get better. So there's so many things happening, but it boils down to simplicity. This is about human freedom, and this is about great minds coming together to focus on the ability for the human mind, body, and soul to be self-determined and free.
Yeah, thank you. Another question.
there's been a lot of focus on strategies, like for the movement to gain strength, and there's a focus on also infiltration, different strategies. And I'm interested in your opinion about all these kind of exotic claims and all of this. I've heard you talk about it, the nanotechnology, this and that, and also this magnetics. What's your take?
Those are all red herrings to me. They throw you off the path. There's no nanochip, no nanotechnology in these. I've examined plenty of different lots. There's no graphene oxide. These are people that are focusing on the wrong thing. They want sensationalism. They want clicks. Oh, look, I think this is this. And most of these people are out of their lane. I'm a pathologist. I look through a microscope and have for a career. These are generalists or just, weekend warriors thinking that they're doing something great because they see something and they have no idea what they're looking at. So God bless them for having curiosity, but don't waste our movement's energy on things that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the experts that know what they are and are not. I know a guy who did a study, 500 people, half were magnetic, half weren't. It didn't matter whether they had a shot or not. Red herring. Who cares? What matters is they're stripping your freedoms away and distracting you with these stupidities when at the end of the day, we should be pushing back as a people against governments that are overreaching. So, yeah, you can have your little pet weekend project, but don't let it ruin our freedom movement.
Yeah.
In fact, I think some of these people may be the infiltrators making everybody look stupid by focusing on things that don't matter.
Yeah, obviously that's...
Like saying that spike protein doesn't exist, and there is no such thing as shedding. That's what he's talking about.
Great risk. Robert Malone was telling us a bit that it's counterproductive, though, to point out the controlled opposition because that will just create in-house war.
Yeah, we need to avoid infighting. What's the main message? Okay, I may focus on pathology and immunology. Somebody else focuses on treatment. That's great. But at the end of the day, it becomes constitutional issues around the world and, again, corrupt organizations trying to overtake your freedom, your autonomy. And so if there's infighting within a freedom movement, the other side sticks together quite well. The word fascia is a bundle of sticks tied together. You can crack and snap one stick in half, no problem, but try cracking a whole bundle of sticks. You can't. So within a freedom movement, we do need to stick together, not, in a counter-fascist way, but in a strong, we are stronger together kind of way.
Mm.
So quit the infighting, quit the tearing each other down. My opinion is going to be different than your opinion, hers over there, etc. But if we realize that I value your autonomy and freedom as much as you value mine, then we fight together for that.
Okay. Dr. Ryan Cole at the Pandemic Strategies Conference in Stockholm, Sweden. All right. Very good. You're never going to see an end to the infighting and the bickering. That's not going to happen because they don't want it to stop. They like it, and that's part of the game.
Yeah, it is. It uses up people's energy, grabs their attention.
When all of you hopefully are listening to people like poor Mina, just use discernment. When she says there's no such thing, or if you see her elsewhere, you see this recirculated video of hers, which originally came out last August, I believe, September. Understand that this is part of the disinformation game of chaos, confusion, and it's warfare on the mind. It's part and parcel of the genocide of the planet. And this is going to be a very, very difficult year for reasons we've spent a lot of time telling you about and building up toward for the last couple of years. It's coming home to roost, sad to say.
I think you're right. It is happening.
You heard today, you were listening to paramedics again. How's that going? What's going on monitoring that?
Today was very busy. A lot of falls. Generally older, 70s, 80s.
Uh-huh.
But people falling, and in some cases hurting themselves. And then there was chest pain. There was a seizure. These are all things that could be likely are related to these injections. I mean, this area is heavily, heavily vaxxed.
What, like 90%?
Oh, yeah. I would say 90, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Well, for those of you out there who want to monitor, if you live in any kind of a quasi-urban area where there is, you know, a good number of people, 30, 40,000, you can go to, it's called broadcastify.com. You type in your address and you'll be able to hear your local fire and rescue services at work and monitor it that way. Okay, that's it for tonight. Anything you want to add?
No, that should do it.
Okay, all right, that's our Monday. Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure. Okay. Good night, everyone.
We will be right back with hour number 3 for you after this.